And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, Alabama. And I'm talking about y'all. This show goes way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, even Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. By the way, John from Huntsville just texted in. And for those of y'all that don't know, we have a cast of characters. I mean, we have some people that are just part of the fabric of the show, and John from Huntsville is certainly one of those. He just texted in Butters and wants to know if he could one day, apparently he's a hot tea drinker. And he knows that we are all, including Big Rig, who's in the studio with us now, we are all coffee drinkers. He is willing to come bring us hot tea at some point. Are you a hot tea drinker?
I will gladly take a nice glass or a cup of Earl Grey. I'll do hot tea.
That sounds very refined.
I'll do hot tea.
Do you lace it with honey?
I do honey. I actually do a little milk in the Earl Grey. That's something I picked up when I was in England. So bring it on.
I lived in England 3 years and I still drink coffee.
Yeah.
In fact, funny thing over there is if you go order iced tea, you might get hot tea with an ice cube in it. It's just, you realize quickly that things are different in some parts of the world.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like going up north and asking for sweet tea and they're like, what? Well, I can bring you tea with sugar. And like, that's not sweet tea.
No, Charlene calls the adult Kool-Aid sweet tea.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yes, I am a hot tea drinker.
Well, John from Huntsville, you are welcome to come to our studio. Just come on, see us sometime.
That would be fun.
That would be fun. Got a brand new texter in here, Marshall from Hoover, quoting one of my, by the way, let me back up. Marshall from Hoover, quoting some of my favorite people. He says, great stuff as always. Love Bennett's Book of Virtues. I would also recommend The Case for Character by former Chief Justice Drayton Nabors, who I love Drayton Nabors. Had lunch with him a couple years ago. Haven't talked to him in a while, but I need to. And then Anything by Alabama native Andy Andrews, who is also one of my favorite authors. And I believe one of his books is on the Right Side recommended reading list. Hang on, let me just check and see. I do believe, yep, there it is. Andy Andrews, How Do You Kill 11 Million People? And Butters, we need to get, if you don't mind, we need to get the Book of Virtues up on the recommended reading list, if you don't mind. Bill Bennett's Book of Virtues. I didn't realize it wasn't on there, but it absolutely needs to be on there. I had one more. I had a Philip from Huntsville saying, did you say that Lou Gehrig's had cancer in your model? He had ALS. I know my mom died. Well, thank you for the correction. You're correct. It's also referred to often as Lou Gehrig's, but yes, thank you. Philip from Huntsville. Appreciate you. By the way, I notice that you are spelling it with two L's. 2L Philip is the way to go. I am a 2L Philip myself. There. Now that we've clarified. Not that you 1L Philips aren't good people. I'm just saying 2L Philips is the way to go. What?
Unless it's abbreviated. Then it's just 1L.
Phil's okay. Phil's a 1L. Philip's a 2L. And I'm sure I'm going to have some 1L Phillips texting in any moment now. All right, listen, number one, Triple Dipper. And by the way, Philip from Huntsville, thank you for the text. And I'm sorry to hear about your mom. Anyway, blessings on you. Number one on the Triple Dipper, I'm calling it Vox Populi, the voice of the people. You know what's interesting is when the mainstream media and major media outlets that claim to be there to report things, and I don't mean like opine, but to report things, can't seem to figure out why they are missing the mark. Like, for instance, what is going on right now in some of the quote-unquote mainstream media outlets regarding Trump winning in New Hampshire last night? And he did. He won big. He won big. In political world, winning by a vote of almost like 54 to 46-ish, and I'm going from memory on the numbers, but it was something like that. That's a massive spread. That's big doings in politics. And that's a comfortable win, if you know what I'm saying. So last night, Trump won big in New Hampshire, and the voice of the people is spoken. Let's be clear. I don't care if you like Trump or not. It doesn't matter. You have to respect the fact that the voters are going to the polls and the voice of the people is being heard. I don't understand the people that allegedly voted for Biden last time, although I'm pretty sure some of them were dead and non-citizens and things that shouldn't happen. But nonetheless, I do not understand their vote. However, it was still their vote. The voice of the people is not something that should be so alien that if you're going to call yourself a reporting outlet, that it should be an alienating thing for you to have to talk about it. But that's exactly what they do. And then some of them, they report things or they say things or they construe things a certain way with such bias and with such agenda-laced articles that you look at it and go, and you wonder why you're going bankrupt. The whole go woke, go broke thing is coming into play in a big way for folks like the LA Times and the Sports Illustrated. Oh my gosh. So listen, here's one right here. I pulled this off Town Hall. And I'll clarify something I said earlier in the show. Like, for instance, Right Side Radio. I make no bones about it. Solid conservative, just plain right. All right? This is a conservative show. When you hear stuff on this show, you're going to largely hear it from a conservative viewpoint because the goal of this show is to do what I call the four E's. We're going to educate, enlighten, empower, and entertain you on what it means to be a conservative in today's world. Having said that, you know what you're getting when you come on here, right? When you dial in, you're dialing in because it's a conservative show. When you go watch CNN, you're supposed to just get news. When you go watch Fox, you're supposed to get news unless of course you're watching something like Hannity, who makes no bones about his opinions. But when you watch a news presentation like the recounting of the vote count in New Hampshire, well, that's supposed to be news. Story here on townhall.com. After Trump's win in New Hampshire, the liberal media suffered another meltdown. And they did. They didn't know what to do. They were apoplectic. Says it's hitting them, and the liberal media doesn't know what to do. Former President Donald Trump trounced former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley, who vowed to fight on despite this being the contest to halt Trump's momentum. CNN didn't carry Trump's victory speech. They can't allow that, right? We can't have that. We cannot have the former President of the United States actually giving a victory speech after having won because the people spoke. God forbid. Can't do that. MSNBC, they could barely get through it. They actually cut the cameras. Nancy Pelosi did a media spot and blew a fuse on live television. Nancy Pelosi tried to say that Trump is the one who's got mental issues and is not stable. And then she started calling Trump Biden. And basically, she was the one short-circuiting. It was interesting. MSNBC's Rachel Maddow had a breakdown after the Iowa caucuses. You might remember that last week. She literally said, we will decide what needs to be, given to you as the audience. I'm paraphrasing slightly, but that's what she did. She even said, too, we weigh it very carefully. We have lots of discussions about the fact that we are not going to give Trump a platform. A platform? He's the leading candidate for president of the United States. And, oh, by the way, he's a former president of the United States. It doesn't matter whether you like him or not. He's freaking news. He is the voice of the people right now. Donald Trump, it says, will be the 2024 Republican nominee. That alone is too close for comfort for many in the establishment press. They also, in part, know that Trump could win again. People like Van Jones have no idea what to do with the fact that Trump is prevailing despite everything they're throwing at him. So, yeah, MSNBC, other story on Town Hall about the same but in more detail, says the Democrat mouthpieces at MSNBC are going to need to be resuscitated in the morning after spending the entire evening at the New Hampshire primary weeping, seething, soiling themselves over the unstoppable Donald Trump's second straight win. MSNBC has made it a regular practice to not give Trump what they call an unfiltered live platform. Well, you know, they'll air everything in the world that Joe Biden says. If he says, I had a ham sandwich for lunch, or likes his favorite flavor of ice cream when he stops again to get some, they'll air it. If he pauses in front of the cameras, they'll air it. Kamala Harris can go on The View and be able to say whatever she, you know, wants to babble about for the next few minutes and then sit there when insults are made against anybody who's conservative and say nothing about it. You can be called, you know, MAGAites and the MAGA Republicans, and you can be called all kinds of names by anyone on the left, and they'll give them the platform. But they are literally saying that they do not intend to give President Donald Trump an and by the way, I don't care if it's Trump. What if the leading candidate was Nikki Haley? By the way, I'm glad it's not the leading candidate. I don't want her to be the, I don't want her to be the nominee. But that being said, you have to look at this and go, if she was, that is the news, because the voice of the people at the polls is driving that train. And so you have to look at this and go, if you're going to call yourself a media outlet, not an opinion-based, but a media outlet, then the vox populi is what you're supposed to talk about. We're going to take a break right now. We'll come back from this one. And I'm going to tell you, there's some things that they don't want you to talk about. There's some things they don't want to admit. And there's some things that they've done that are starting to hit their own bottom line, and they can't figure out it's the vox populi, and they don't want to deal with it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like making common sense like a superpower. Hey, by the way, I tell you, you've got a lot of common sense superpower. The lovely Charlene just sent in her recipe for Texas taco soup. Several folks have asked, and she actually heard that yesterday, and she said, they really want me to send it? And I said, well, yeah. So, all right. And by the way, I had two large bowls of that last night, and she brought some to Butters today. So you're taking that home tonight.
I'm excited. I'm excited. But now,
we have the recipe.
We have the recipe
in her handwriting, by the way.
So what are we? We're starting an auction. Is this a bidding that we're
we're auctioning off the recipe for Texas Taco Soup?
A fundraiser for awesome. Right Side Radio.
I tell you what, I don't know how to handle this. So what do I do with the fact that I now have? The recipe for Texas taco soup in my hands. I guess I can post it to my Twitter, you think?
Yeah, I think throw it there. We got Tracy listening on X. She's watching us live over
really?
There and
okay.
asked if she had missed, or he, I guess it could be he.
Oh, yeah.
Have I missed the recipe for Texas taco soup? No, but I think we're going to get it up on Phil's
my Twitter account. Is that where you want it?
Yeah. Right. Let's do that, and y'all go pull
right.
it from there.
All right. So my Twitter account is at Sen Phil Williams. That's S-E-N Phil Williams on Twitter, X. I will post it there momentarily in picture form, probably during the next break. And then I might be able to send it out on the text lines. There were a couple of people that actually asked for it on the text lines, and we can probably do that. But it's going to get unmanageable if it gets too many. So. Just know this, you are getting some goodness. That you're getting some goodness in the lovely Charlene's handwriting. Texas taco soup, which I think, by the way, based on yesterday's topic, that was perfect. It was Taco Tuesday, and I also spent a lot of time talking about the Texas border. So in honor of what is going on, God bless Texas. Remember the Alamo, Texas taco soup. The recipe will be posted at Sen Phil Williams. And potentially available if somebody wants us to text it to you on the text lines. And then you have people asking for it on the Twitter feed too, right?
Yep. So we'll figure out how to get it out depending on the demand. Now, the one thing I will say is I'd really love to see some pictures if folks are fixing this and eating it. So
yes,
maybe,
and remember,
maybe post those if you're over on the X or text them in. Yeah, I'd be curious.
And remember, too, the chosen method of eating this is you take tortilla chips and crumble them in the bottom of the bowl and then pour the soup over the top of that. And that's how you eat it.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Why do I get hungry every day on this show?
I mean, we talk about maple bacon donuts and...
Why do we not wait till at least the 4 o'clock hour?
I don't know. It's your fault.
All right. Sorry. So, and I apologize to all the listeners that are also sitting at work getting hungrier and hungrier. So.
All right. Back on topic. Vox Populi. So the people's voice. One of the things that I found just this morning, I came out yesterday, but I found it this morning, an article on Daily Wire talks about, and when I read it, I thought, yep, all the things they won't talk about, or at least won't admit to. A poll was done most recently asking voters what their top concerns were going into the 2024 election season. Two of the states have already spoken. You know, we now have Iowa and New Hampshire have already done their primaries. We know it was Trump, basically, for the Republicans. But right now the polling says 35% of voters say that immigration is their top concern. Immigration now, surpassing the economy even. And yet the Biden administration will continue to say the border is secure. And the liberal side of the media will barely acknowledge that we have this level of crisis. The Vox Populi is saying 35% people say immigration is the number one concern. 32% say inflation. Oh, no, inflation is actually under control. Things are better than they were. Don't you understand? Bidenomics is kicking in. Well, 32% of the people are still saying, my gosh, it's still a big deal. The third biggest concern was economy and jobs, 25% of the people citing that as their top issue. The next was crime and drugs. No, the streets are safe. We don't have a problem. There's not a thing. Fentanyl, we shouldn't have to acknowledge that, should we? They're not covering the same things that the people's voice is saying are their top concerns, and yet they portray themselves as media outlets. And then I find stories like this one on Red State. When they begin to wonder what's happening to their own bottom line, you look at things like the Los Angeles Times. A story here from yesterday on Red State, headline, "Oh, how the mighty have fallen, the LA Times appears to be in an imminent state of collapse." Los Angeles Times is one of the legacy papers in the United States. Now, granted, print media is having trouble anyway, but the LA Times is having trouble just in general. LA Times has been around since 1881, survived enormous ups and downs over the past 142 years, but one thing did remain constant. The LA Times could be depended on for trustworthy and timely reporting of the news. And now, not so much. I mean, we're looking at right now, earlier this month it says it was suddenly announced that Kevin Morita was departing his post as executive editor after less than 3 years. Then news came of forthcoming mass layoffs, and prompting the employees' union to stage a historic one-day walkout. I mean, you've got constant stories right now of major media struggling, and you got to wonder why. When you see things like Daily Wire providing, you know, basically content generation that is from one angle. They come at it from conservative viewpoints. They also report stories that they know you're going to want to think about, talk about, because you are talking about them, because the people's voice says so. And then you got Sports Illustrated. My gosh, Sports Illustrated. What happened to SI? So gone are the days of just reporting on the games, giving you the stats, pictures of the players. No, now they have to have transgenders on the swimsuit issue cover, right? No one wants that. They're trying to basically beautify things that are never designed to be, and the vast majority of the public is turned away from it. And yet, they wonder why they're doing mass layoffs and most of their staff last week got pink-slipped. Are they going to make it? We don't know yet. But the narrative here from Washington Times points out just yesterday afternoon, showcasing transgender celebrities and plus-size models and Megan Rapinoe kneeling at the national anthem. Go woke, go broke. An arena group just announced that they were laying off 100 of their workers at Sports Illustrated. I'm telling you, folks, media bias, it's out there. And when they choose not to let the people's voice actually be reported as part of the news, it comes back to bite them. All right, coming up next, we're going to switch over to Home Fries. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.